Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Wednesday, May the 19th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have got a great hour ahead of you this morning. So many things going on in the state of Ohio that we have talked about over the last few days. Vax-a-million registration opened up yesterday, and by all accounts, thousands of people have registered for the Vax-a-million $1 million giveaway, which starts in late May and will happen once a week for 5 weeks. Also, college tuition, room and board, all paid for people under the age of 17. And that will go on, the drawing for that in late May as well. COVID restrictions, health restrictions in the state of Ohio look to be coming to an end as of June the 2nd. A lot of retailers are starting to do away with the mask mandates and things of that nature. And a whole lot of other stuff going on. Columbus is choosing a new police chief. They're down to four. What better person to bring on than a man who certainly knows the state of Ohio, a good friend of this program, and a gentleman who speaks very candidly, which I appreciate quite a bit, the 68th governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. Governor, how are you?
Well, Scott, good morning. It's a beautiful morning here in the great state of Ohio, and I think summer has finally decided to come our way, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful day.
You know, Governor, I was thinking about that last night. I went out last night a little after 8 o'clock, and the sun was still out. It was still above 70 degrees, and I thought, well, maybe we finally hit that cusp.
Well, I think we have, and I'm sitting out here in my backyard right now, surrounded by beautiful flowers and gorgeous blue sky above me, and it's a good day to be in Ohio. And I'm happy to talk with you and your listeners this morning.
Well, Governor, I know you were a big proponent of a lot of the things that Governor DeWine has done in the last year in regard to COVID-19, but there are a lot of changes coming up in the next 30 days. So let's start with the June 2nd change. It's going to be a big change for the first time in over a year that the health restrictions in the state of Ohio will be going away. Is this a good idea with only 42% of the population as we have it right now vaccinated?
Well, time will tell, obviously, but I encourage everyone, all of your listeners, to get the vaccine. It is painless. It can save a life. It can save multiple lives. If you are in a family where there may be susceptible people who are immunosuppressed or have other health conditions. So this is really, Scott, a matter of life and death. And people are still dying from this virus. Not in the great numbers that we saw earlier, but it's tragic to lose a single life unnecessarily. And if you get the vaccine, you can live more normally. I mean, I've had my vaccine for, I got my second shot of Moderna in February, and it's just like a cloud has been removed from over your head. You can interact with people. You can go places. I've had, you know, the opportunity to have our neighbors over for breakfast, and it's just wonderful to get back to a normal kind of life. And if we all get vaccinated, that can happen much quicker than if there are significant numbers of people that continue to refuse to get the vaccination.
Governor, if you were leading the state, which you have done, and you knew the facts were that less than half the population was vaccinated, vaccinated, would you think that's the time to lift all the health restrictions?
Well, it's a heavy decision, obviously, and you know, having been governor and knowing the responsibility that comes with that office, I am sympathetic to whoever is in that office, Republican or Democrat, because sometimes you are faced with choices that are not totally good or totally bad, but somewhere in that gray middle. And I think what Governor DeWine has been doing and is trying to do even now is to find that reasonable middle where people can feel more free to, you know, to move about, not wear masks, interact with others, but at the same time, do what he's doing, and that's continue to encourage people to get the vaccination. That's the secret. If we all had the vaccination, things would be back to normal. And there's vaccines available. You can walk into most pharmacies now, without an appointment, and get the vaccination. And it's just so important. And Scott, even young people, what we are seeing is that as more and more older adults get vaccinated, we are seeing numbers of younger people get the virus. And we don't know for sure what the so-called long hauler effect will be for those who have had the virus. But some people are months later, even having recovered or thinking that they had fully recovered, are finding that they are experiencing symptoms, brain fog, other kinds of physical symptoms that are the result of them having the virus. And so even young people want to avoid the possibility of having effects of the virus sometime later on in their life.
Knowing that, and knowing that this June 2nd date is approaching, we also know that in Ohio, we had plenty of the virus on hand. We have plenty of the vaccine on hand. We have plenty of the vaccine on hand right now, but everything had dropped off. I think there was a report just a couple weeks ago that we were only using 20% of the available vaccine in Ohio. You no longer had to make an appointment. You could just walk in anywhere. The age had dropped off quite a bit. You could be younger and younger and younger and take the vaccine, yet people weren't doing it. What do you make of that?
I think some people just do not yet accept the reality of how serious this is. Scott, it is very possible, perhaps even likely, that people listening to us this morning who refuse to get the vaccine will lose their lives as a result of that decision. This virus is still out there. It can still be very deadly. And it is so sad that there are people who are living today making a decision not to get the vaccine that will lose their lives as a result. I think that is a statement that cannot be questioned. And let me give you an example. I recently had a death in my family, and I went to a funeral home in Lucasville, Ohio. That's in Scioto County, southern part of the state. And the McKinley Funeral Home is the funeral home in this little community. And the director of that funeral home told me that he had 25 funerals in the month of December, and he had 24 funerals the month of January, just in that one small funeral home in that one small community. Now, Lucasville is certainly not nearly as large as Marion, Ohio. It's just a small community, maybe of 5,000 people. But people are still dying. This crisis is not over. And the secret is get vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, you can live with confidence that you are not going to get the virus and die, and that you are not going to transmit that virus to people that you love and care about.
Based on the year that we've had, when this all started a little over a year ago, we had the stay-at-home order, and the numbers did not get where we thought they were going to get, so we thought this was all good. Last June, the stay-at-home order was lifted, and the numbers started to rise. They raised to a number so high that by July, a mask mandate had to be put into place. The mask mandate came in, the numbers went down a little bit, but then people decided they were going to play high school sports and they were going to get together for the holidays. And by December, a lot of hospitals were reaching near capacity. Thank goodness we did not jump those lines, but it was very close. So on June the 2nd, we are going to be as wide open as we have ever been in the last year, with only 42% of the population vaccinated, and the number of people taking the vaccinations dropping off tremendously. When you don't have to wear a mask anymore, when you don't have to social distance, when you don't have to wash your hands, and over half the population doesn't have the vaccine, and as you said, it's life and death, could we be headed into something very bad here on June the 2nd?
Well, we could be, and as I said, time will tell. The good news is that most of our more vulnerable citizens, and I'm talking about the elderly, which I am one, have received the vaccine. And I think that's why we are seeing a decline in the deaths. But there are still younger people who are dying from this virus. And there are still middle-aged people who are at continued risk. And so, you know, the good news is we have the vaccine. And we have plenty of it. And that's the good news. And deaths are down. And infections have been slowly decreasing. And so our hospital system has not been overrun. But simply walking into a pharmacy, rolling up your sleeve, you know, for me it took about 5 to 10 minutes for the whole process. And you can be safe and you can feel comfortable about being around others without fear of infecting them. It's such a simple process and it costs nothing. And it's baffling that people would choose, to not get vaccinated. And, you know, Scott, so much of this has been caught up in the political discussion, and for God's sake, we ought to get politics out of this issue. President Trump took the vaccine before he left the White House. Now, he didn't do it publicly, but he did it. Why did he do it? He did it because he believed that it could save his life and the lives of those around him. And that's the message that needs to be communicated to people, regardless of what your politics. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a Trumpster, or a radical, I don't care. Your body is in need of protection, and it's so easy to get it. And it like I say, it doesn't hurt. it's not a painful process. And it doesn't cost anything, and it's available, and it can save your life.
You know, Governor, another interesting point here is the world of commerce. Governor DeWine said that businesses, stores, could keep the mask mandate if they wish to. And by all accounts, if you are going to get coronavirus, because it is a viral illness, you have a much higher chance when you are in public, and certainly if you are not wearing a mask, if you are not vaccinated. Are you surprised that since the governor's announcement, which is just a little over a week old here, that so many stores have already, Meijer, Home Depot, and a whole lot of others have already said sayonara to the mask mandate.
Yes. No, I'm not surprised, because, you know, they want customers to come in, and they want, you know, to sell products, and that's understandable, and that's admirable. They want to have a welcoming environment, and some people find the necessity of wearing a mask to be something that they find burdensome or uncomfortable or in other ways objectionable. So, but it's up to, if Scott, it really comes down to individual decisions. People are going to have to be honest about whether or not they are vaccinated, if they are out and about without a mask, if they are in social gatherings or in restaurants, and they haven't been vaccinated, then they should be wearing a mask. And so, I mean, I hope most people are honest enough to, you know, to either wear a mask or get vaccinated or refrain from going out into venues where they could put other people at risk.
You know, Governor, on that point, I want to bring this up because this is something, and maybe you can explain it because I haven't quite understood it, that most of these businesses, when they made these announcements, have said, if you're vaccinated, you can come in without a mask. But I have not seen any businesses with anybody at the door checking for vaccination cards, and it's not that hard to lie. I mean, let's be honest. And if you don't believe in the virus and you don't believe in the vaccine and you don't like the mask to begin with, what's to stop you from saying you've had it? I didn't quite understand how that's supposed to work unless they are going to station somebody at the door, which heretofore I have not seen happen.
Well, you know, Scott, most people know the golden rule, and I hope most people try to live by it, but you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And I think it's really sad that people would make a decision to put others at risk unnecessarily simply because they're too selfish to wear a mask. And sadly, I know that human nature is such that there will be people who will act irresponsibly. But you know, it just comes down to people having enough integrity and enough honor that they would not pretend to be vaccinated when they haven't been. That is a form of lying. You know, people who like to think of themselves as honest persons should think of it in that way. I believe that if you're not vaccinated and you're out and about, and business establishments or churches or other places say, you know, you should wear a mask if you aren't vaccinated, then they should either get vaccinated or they should wear a mask, or they're going to be lying to the people they're associating with.
You talked about the politics of this earlier, Governor Strickland, and I know you have been a fan of how Governor DeWine has handled this for the most part. He's a Republican, you're a Democrat. But the reality of the situation is this. Governor DeWine is up for re-election next year. Some competitors, Nan Whaley has announced on the Democratic side that she will be running. Her campaign is starting. We are in the middle of this COVID-19. The Republican legislature in Ohio has been at odds with Governor DeWine since pretty much the beginning of this. And we all know, and I believe the date was June 23rd, and people can check that on me, but they had already told Governor DeWine that if you don't get rid of these health restrictions, we are going to overturn your health restrictions on June 23rd, or at least introduce a bill to do so. Be being that he does want to run again, being that I think he would not want to be at odds with his party, do you think that figured into his announcement to get rid of this on June the 2nd?
You know, I don't know what's in the governor's mind or heart, but you know, I can tell you he is already at odds with large parts of his own party. I have thought for some time that Governor DeWine would likely face a primary campaign for the nomination of his party for a second term. And I know there are people who are contemplating running against him in that primary. And so I would hope the governor would do what I think he has tried to do thus far, and that's just do the right thing and not let politics impinge upon his decisions regarding the public's health. You know, there are some things that you can be very political about, but when it comes to the health of the people, as I said earlier, these are life and death situations and decisions that I would hope that the governor would follow the best advice that he can get regarding the consequences of whatever decision he may make.
You don't become governor of Ohio without being somewhat of a savvy politician. Do you find the timing of this June 2nd health orders lifted by Governor DeWine, when the legislature had already threatened on June 23rd to introduce a bill to overturn them, do you find the timing of this suspect?
I'm going to withhold judgment there, Scott. You know, I don't know. I haven't been a part of the internal discussions. I do know that the CDC, within the last few days, has changed their positions on the wearing of masks, for example. And I hope that's based on science rather than political considerations. So I'm going to withhold judgment. I think it is reprehensible, quite frankly, that the legislature, the Ohio House and Senate, is such a, I don't know what word to use. It's an embarrassment. Ohio should be embarrassed at the makeup of our Ohio House and Ohio Senate, not just in regard to, you know, these health matters, but in regard to many other issues as well. We are in some ways a laughing stock of the nation, and I have sympathy with the governor trying to work with some of these people because they are unreasonable and in some cases I believe irrational, so he's got to work with them. A governor is not all powerful, when you have a legislature that is so primitive in its thinking as we have now, it would be tough to be in the governor's seat right now. I can assure you of that.
I have talked to several Republicans across the state of Ohio to the point that you just brought up, that Governor DeWine might face a primary challenge on the Republican side because mainly of his stances on this vaccine and COVID-19 and how he's handled the pandemic. If you look at Ohio right now, we're going to have a Senate race, and a candidate getting a lot of attention is former Treasurer Josh Mandel. He is very critical of how Governor DeWine, and he's a member of the governor's party, very critical of how Governor DeWine has handled this. The legislature, which is Republican, has been very critical of how Governor DeWine has handled this. And a lot of Republicans' theory is that a sitting governor will face a primary, and even if the governor comes through the primary, it's going to damage him, and the Democrats going to win the election for governor, whoever it may be, just because there will be such a chasm in the Republican Party. Can you see their thinking on this?
I absolutely can see their thinking on that, and I would go so far as to think that it is a likely scenario. It's really strange what's happened within the Republican Party, that someone as conservative as Mike DeWine, and he's very conservative, and I have sympathy for the governor, but I disagree with him on many things. But he's a conservative man. He's a conservative governor, and yet within the Republican Party, I don't know how you could please some of these folks. And you mentioned Josh Mandel. Josh Mandel is a man without principle, I think, and that's a harsh thing to say, but there are some people that will say and do anything in order to try to win a political office, and I think that's where we are with many of the people that are, they're in politics today. It's really sad what's happened within our state and across our nation. This effort to get a bipartisan commission made up of equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans is being opposed by the Republican leader in the House of Representatives. It's just sad that they seem to allow Donald Trump to dictate everything that happens within the Republican Party at the national level, and increasingly so at the state level. And Scott, I believe it is destructive to our democracy, and it's a sad situation.
A few months ago, Governor Strickland, I said if Governor DeWine decided to run for re-election, if the election were held today, would he win? And you said yes. Now, knowing a lot of developments that have happened since then, and we also know now that Nan Whaley on the Democratic side will be a candidate. There will be more, I'm sure, in the Democratic primary. But because of this chasm in the Republican Party that has developed with the Josh Mandels, with the Ohio legislature, with President Trump winning Ohio very convincingly in the last election, if the election were held today, do you think Mike DeWine could win a second term?
I think it may be easier for Mike DeWine to win a general election than it's going to be for him to win a primary election. And if he loses a primary election, then your question to me is a mute question.
Do you think a sitting governor could lose a primary?
Oh, I absolutely do. In fact, I haven't seen any documentation, but I have been told that there is polling that that shows that Governor DeWine is in trouble within his own party. And there's increasing talk that Mr. Renacci may be preparing a primary challenge, and there may be others. But yes, I think it is possible, given the political circumstances that exist now, it is possible for a sitting governor to lose a primary election.
Governor DeWine, in the beginning of this and through a lot of it, has been lauded nationally as doing the right thing and one of the first governors to get out ahead of this. Because of those decisions and because of timing, it had been over 100 years since we'd had a pandemic, and because of the makeup of his party in Ohio, did doing the right thing by the pandemic possibly be his downfall, could be his downfall in his own party?
Absolutely, it could be. Yes, I think that is a possibility.
Want to talk about this, because this plays into this, and this started yesterday, and it's a you'd have to check the newspapers around the state and the people who called into this show yesterday. Very interesting. Now, Vax-a-Million, talk about laughing stock. Late night comedians were making fun of Governor DeWine for this. I believe most of them did. Colbert and Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. And it's in the newspapers today that they were making fun of him. Vax-a-Million, run by the Ohio Lottery, coming from federal money. $1 million given away for 5 weeks for people who've at least received one vaccination. What do you make of Vax-a-Million?
Well, it's a gamble, I think. No pun intended. I do think it's a gamble because we don't know whether or not it will have the desired results. Now, if it were to result in 75 to 85% of Ohioans deciding to get vaccinated, then I would say it probably was a good idea. But if it has only marginal effect in terms of people getting vaccinated, then it would be a bad idea, in my judgment. I've been thinking about this, and some of the other states have provided incentives for people to get vaccinated. I think in West Virginia, I think I'm correct in saying that in West Virginia, people who get vaccinated get a $100 government bond, and maybe something of that nature would have been more helpful and more effective. It wouldn't have been as dramatic as a $1 million prize, but it may have resulted in more people actually walking in and getting a shot, knowing for sure that they would be getting $100 or some other financial benefit. So different states have tried different tactics. This particular $1 million giveaway is, I think, a little unusual. I think it's a gamble, in terms of whether or not it will achieve the desired result.
I have to ask you again, because you have sat in the seat that Governor DeWine is in now, would you have taken $5 million plus, because we also have the tuition part of this for children under the age of 17, of federal funding and used it in a lottery format to get people vaccinated in the state of Ohio?
Boy, that's a tough question. I think I probably would not have pursued this particular approach. I may have chosen to use those resources to entice people to get vaccinated, but I may have done it in a, in a different way. No one asked me my opinion, Scott. So I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about what I would have done if I were in that circumstance. It's a creative idea. Some people may think it's a kind of a indefensible idea. I think it could turn out to be helpful, or it could turn out to be a bust. And if it's helpful, I think the governor can take credit for it. And if it's a bust, and it doesn't result in significant numbers of people getting vaccinated, then I think he's got to accept responsibility for the decision.
I have to ask you this, Governor Strickland. You said earlier in the interview that you have been vaccinated. Have you signed up for Vax-a-Million?
I have not. I haven't really thought about it. I might sign up for it. I don't know. But I haven't at this point.
Is it, as just an Ohio citizen at this point, is it enticing to you to win $1 million being vaccinated?
I don't know what the odds are, but there are, several million Ohioans who have already been vaccinated. So your chances of winning would be very small. And, I don't think gambling is I've played a slot machine a few times in my life, but I really don't think gambling is a healthy behavior. It's not the kind of activity that I think I would want to encourage if I were advising people.
And again, here, not to think ill, but we do live in a political world right now, and Mike DeWine, as we all know, does want to be governor again for another 4-year term, but as you said, there might be some internal polling in the Republican Party that he is in trouble, that he could lose a primary, that Mr. Renacci might get involved in this. A lot of mites there, but knowing that, when we're only a little over a year from the next gubernatorial election, you know, to have a governor on television 5 weeks in a row giving away $1 million, could this be political?
Scott, if I'm tempted to call you cynical.
I don't know. I've never seen this before.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be done. I mean, if the governor himself stands there and awards $1 million, then I think that would be inappropriate. If this is going to be done, it needs to be devoid of that kind of political display. My understanding is the Ohio Lottery Commission is going to be largely responsible for carrying this out. That needs to be done very carefully. Oh, so carefully.
But
it ought to be done devoid of political grandstanding. If they did the drawing and the governor stood there and handed $1 million to a person, I would say that would be hugely inappropriate, because that would be injecting a kind of politicization of the process that I think would be not appropriate.
Not to be cynical about this, but the thing about it that I'm hearing from people is this just came about a week ago, and all the newspapers read Governor DeWine going to give $5 million away, college tuition away, and yet I don't know how much thought went into it, because we had a snag right off the bat where the governor said, we're going to use the voter rolls in Ohio so you do not have to register, and then about faced on Monday and said, whoa, wait a second, you do have to register. You know how government works, and you know how decisions are made. Was this does it sound like a spur-of-the-moment decision? What was it, well thought out? Confused a lot of people.
That particular issue does make it seem as if it was not well thought out. And by the way, it's not Governor DeWine's money. This is money that is coming to the state from the federal government. So you probably ought to thank Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden more than you would think Governor DeWine for the money. But that's an example of me interjecting politics into the process, and I guess I should apologize for having done that.
Well, do you think that when Pelosi and Schumer were allocating this money, and President Biden, I think, was in favor of it, and a lot of other Congress people, a Democratic Congress, Sherrod Brown, I think, is in favor of this, that this money would be used for a lottery? $5 million is a lot of money.
I think it is a questionable use of those resources myself. But when it comes to the use of those resources, the states have a great decision making ability, and so it's up to the individual states. Within limits, obviously, but it's up to the individual states and the governments within the individual states to choose how to use those resources.
In our last 5 minutes here, Governor Strickland, since we spoke last, we do have our first Democratic entry into the gubernatorial race in Ohio. It was long thought that current Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley would be getting in to this primary, Democratic primary, your party. She has gotten in on the gubernatorial side. What do you make of Nan Whaley's chances here?
Well, I know Nan very well. She is a very competent, effective leader. I think she has an excellent chance of becoming governor. She has been the mayor of Dayton, and they have faced a lot of challenges up there, notably among them that terrible shooting that occurred, which led Governor DeWine to go up there and promise the people that he would do something. And quite frankly, what he's done is to sign a bill the so-called Stand Your Ground bill that I'm sure most of those people in Dayton who were wanting him to do something were not thinking about that kind of something. So I think that's one of the issues that that Nan Whaley will use in her challenge of the governor, because he did not have to sign that bill. He could have vetoed it. They may have overridden his veto, but the fact is that it's a terrible bill, and it's just an example of how political special interest groups dominate our public policy, and Scott, no better example of that than HB6 and that corrupt legislation that was passed for First Energy, costing Ohio taxpayers and benefiting lobbyists, some of whom I think are probably going to end up in jail. But the legislature has yet to fully undo the damage that bill has done. Our renewable energy standards have not been fully recovered. Coal-fired power plants, one of which is in Indiana, is still going to be getting Ohio taxpayer money, subsidies. I think if I were running for governor in a few months, I would be stressing the corruption that exists within our state house and saying it's really time for a change. And I'm not calling Governor DeWine corrupt there, but he signed the bill. I think many of the people that promoted that bill did it for corrupt reasons. And as I said, I think some people will end up going to jail. But the legislature should do the right thing and totally eliminate the provisions that were contained in that legislation.
Quick question before we wrap up the interview here in our last few moments. A lot of question in Columbus, Ohio right now about the police chief situation and the issues that have happened there in regard to race. Right now, we're down to the final four, and I believe it's on the front of the Columbus Dispatch today. It certainly is on the webpage. We're down to four candidates for the next Columbus police chief. Three of them are African-American, and one of them is a woman. Do you think that's by design? Because of what's happened in Columbus, Ohio over the last 6 months?
I hope it is. I hope it's because of design, because I think it is critically important at this stage and considering all that's happened here in Columbus, Ohio to have that department led by a qualified, highly experienced, reform-minded person, and I think it's important. I think it would be good for the city and this and the police force and to develop additional trust within the minority community if a minority was the head of that that police force?
I want to say that really two are actually women, but three are African-American and two are women. And final question, Governor Strickland, the police union in Columbus is saying that they are being demonized at this point. Police officers are being demonized. What do you make of what the union's saying?
You know, Scott, I've always been a very pro-union person. Still am. I think unions are critically important to the well-being of our democracy and to the appropriate functioning of our economy. So I am very pro-union, but I want to tell you there have been things happen in this community that greatly disturb me. That one young boy, I think he was 21 or 22 years of age, that was shot in the back as he was entering his grandmother's home. And according to the autopsy report, he was shot in the back five times and once in the buttocks. There have been too many instances of African Americans dying at the hands of law enforcement in our community. And that needs to be taken very seriously.
68th Governor of the State of Ohio, Ted Strickland. I appreciate your candor as always, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you, Governor Strickland. And I thank you for all your kindnesses over the years, and hopefully it will continue.
Scott, it's always great to talk to you, and I want to wish you and all of your listeners, some of which are probably gritting their teeth at some of the things I've said this morning, but I want to wish them a good day. It's a beautiful day in Ohio.
Thank you, Governor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Governor Ted Strickland, back in 15 minutes.
Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday.